Well, I think Luke chapter 2 is one of my favourite parts of the Christmas story, so we're going to look at that now and read to you from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through to verse 20. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Imagine that. And they were terrified. That's interesting, isn't it? You thought they were excited. No, they were terrified at this awesome spectacle. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. Lord, we do pray again that you will quicken your word to our hearts today, that you would touch it by your Spirit, and that you might guide it into our hearts today. Lord, you know every person in this room. You know what they're going through right now, what they need to hear from you today. And I pray that just like some of us might send some Christmas cards this year, I pray that even through what I bring today, you might bring a personalized message to them that will bring joy and hope and life and inspiration. In Jesus' name, amen. The title for my message today is "Joy is for Life, Not Just for Christmas." Joy is for life, not just for Christmas. I think it's born on that title. A dog is for life, not just for Christmas. But joy is for life, not just for Christmas. Then I thought to myself, well, how do you start a sermon on joy? Well, most of that down, if you need any information about anything, what do? You Google it, don't you? So I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll Google joy, I'll click on images, and I'll see what comes up. And these are a few images about joy. I like that one. That's a good one, isn't it? Okay, so another one. Should we go for the next one? Oh, that looks great. Something about children and joy, isn't there? They express it much more openly than us as adults. We try to keep things under lid. So that goes. And that came up as joy as well. I'm serious. So joy, for some of us, that's joyful. Maybe for others, it's overindulgence. And the next one is, I actually wasn't on the joy thing, but I thought, well, that looks pretty joyful. That is people from Argentina, presumably Buenos Aires, celebrating the World Cup that Argentina won a year ago and looking pretty joyful about that occasion. Joy, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is defined as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Why am I mentioning this morning? Well, I don't know about you, but if you read through the Christmas story and all the various bits, particularly in Luke and in Matthew's Gospel, and you kind of get all the bits coming together, and if you were to read it in one go and just kind of read it like you would read a book, you will see that the word joy comes up quite a lot. You might want to try that over the next week. Just kind of read it through, look in Matthew and Luke and read it through, and just note down the number of times the word joy or rejoicing comes up. It's littered with it. You know, it comes up repeatedly. And what do we learn from that? Well, the Bible is saying that the Christmas story, the Christmas message, the coming of Jesus, the one and only Son of God, is a joyful occasion for us as human beings. And I then began to look, and I at college, I studied Bible college, the Greek language for a little bit. So we all know, I'm sure, that the New Testament is written in Greek. And therefore, if you're going to kind of understand sometimes the meaning of the scriptures, it's helpful to look back and look at words, because words change, don't they? In different contexts, in different languages, they mean different things. So I looked at the word joy and the reoccurrence, and I noticed and I found out that actually, because New Testament Greek is a lot more rich in language, there's more words in it, that actually the word joy, which, you know, it's translated joining, is actually there's two different Greek words. But because the translators don't have any other English words to use for joy, it just gets translated as joy. But actually, if we were to read it in the original language, and we'll look at this in a minute, it's not this technical, okay, this morning, it's just the introduction, that there are two words for joy. And one of them is the word chara, C-H-A-R-A. And it means joy and gladness and rejoicing. It means joy and gladness and rejoicing. I'm wondering whether some little chap this morning could help me with this. Would you like to come and help me?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. I was going to ask you just to act out something for me. Could you help me? No, we're not going to do that. But if we were going to do this, if I had two young children here this morning, and what I would have done is I would ask them to act out joy and maybe think of something joyful and jump around and, you know, high five a few people. That we might define as joy. Well, that is chara. The word chara is the word joy. It's the word that we see when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Remember in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That word joy there is chara, and it means joy and gladness and rejoicing. But there's also another word in Greek that's also translated joy, and it's the word agaleo. And that means to celebrate, to praise, to exalt. It means rejoice exceedingly. It means extreme joy. Okay, so joy might be the chocolate cake, but extreme joy looks a bit like the Argentinian football fans when their team have won the World Cup and they're extraordinarily happy about it. That's extreme joy. Okay, so you've got joy, and then you've got exceeding joy. But they're both translated joy in the New Testament. Okay, so let's have a look, shall we, just for a quick moment. We'll look at some of the instances where the word joy comes up, and we'll ask ourselves this morning, is it chara, joy, or is it agaleo, meaning extreme joy? And maybe there's some things that we might want to learn from that. So, first reference, Luke chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, is in the temple, and an angel appears to him and says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, Your prayer has been heard. Remember, they prayed for a son because Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, couldn't have one. And they waited years and years and years, and they thought the time for childbirth was gone by and that God had not answered their prayer. But then this one day, the angel comes and appears to Zechariah and says, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy to you. Imagine that you've waited all your life for the gift of a child. You prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then when you thought it's impossible, God shows up, or the angel shows up and says, you're going to have a son, Zechariah, and you're going to call him John. That will be a joy, the word kara. So that's going to be joyful to you, and many will rejoice. The root there is joy again, but that word this time is agaleo, because of his birth. So there will be extreme joy. Zechariah, you're going to be joyful because you've got a son, but this son, well, many will rejoice because of his birth, John the Baptist. Why? Because he's heralding in the good news about Jesus. So what we're seeing there is a distinction between the two. Having a son and having a child is a joyful occasion. It's joyful news. But the coming of Jesus, the coming of John the Baptist, forerunner for Jesus, that is exceedingly joyful, exceedingly good news. So it's on a higher plane, a higher level of joy. Okay, let's look at the second reference. Some months later, Elizabeth is pregnant, Zechariah's wife, with John the Baptist. So he's growing in the womb. We think perhaps he's 6 or 7 months old at this stage. And Mary arrives. The angel Gabriel has spoken to Mary and said, Mary, you're the chosen person to bear the Christ child. You're going to come of child by the Holy Spirit, and you are going to give birth to Jesus, who will be the Savior of the world, etc. And so Mary is now expecting by the Holy Spirit, but she's in the very early stages of her pregnancy, and she goes to visit her cousin, who's called Elizabeth, who is more advanced in the pregnant, you know, in her pregnancy. So she's a few, you know, 6 months or so ahead of Mary. And then this is what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 44. So this is what Elizabeth said about when Mary comes into the room, verse 40, when they greet each other, as soon as the sound of your greeting reach my ears, the baby in my womb leap for joy. The word there is agaleo. It's the extreme joy. So imagine, us men, we can't relate to this, but imagine, ladies, if you've born a child, if you've been pregnant, occasionally, or maybe more than occasion, you feel the baby's kick inside you, don't you? I remember when our children were yet to be born, and Helen would often say to me, put your hand on my stomach now, and you can feel the baby kick. And, well, imagine that what happened on this occasion. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, walks into the room. Elizabeth is there. She's heavily pregnant. Suddenly, the baby inside of her, just as Mary walks into the room, goes crazy. Extremely joyful. I don't know what happens, but I bet there is arms and legs kicking out all over the place. There must have been something going on. You can relate to this. Some people are going, yeah, I've experienced that. And so that's the word there, extreme joy. Isn't that interesting? That somehow, by the Spirit, unborn John the Baptist knows that Jesus, the Messiah, has walked into the room. That is amazing. I think that's exciting. An extreme joy. Mary says of this occasion, in a little bit further on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 47, 49. This is Mary's translation. This is what Mary says about that. My soul glorifies the Lord. This is little humble 14-year-old, perhaps, Mary, the mother of Jesus. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. Agaleo, it gets really hyper excited in God, my Savior. Why? Because a Savior's coming. She's not just excited because she's bearing a child. She's super excited, extremely joyful. Why? Because that child is the Savior of the world. It's the one that the Jews have been longing for, looking for. The Savior, the Messiah, long expected, was now, well, it's arrived. He was here inside her womb. That's what she's told. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Isn't that right? Even today, we're mentioning her name. We're talking about this 2,000 years on. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So you can see already in the Christmas story, there's a lot of joy going on. There's a lot of expectation of something amazing is going to happen. Why? Because the Messiah has come. And this is not just ordinary joy. This is exceedingly joyful. Okay, let's carry on. I've got two more references from the story. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. We've just read the words. The shepherds are out in the fields. And it says this. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Remember, they were terrified at this glorious scene. Suddenly they were shaking with fear, probably thinking they were going to die. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. The word there is kara. You thought it might be a galileo, didn't you? But its preface were the words great. And the Greek word for great is the word megos, from which we get the word mega. So what they're saying is, I bring you good news of mega joy. That's interesting, isn't it? That's exactly what it says in the text. I bring you news of mega joy. Hey guys, wake up, shepherds. Come, it's great news. That's what the heavenly choir of the angels singing. You know, glory to God. This is, why are they doing all of this? It's because there's news of great, mega, great joy. Not just for you, but for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And that is mega good news. And it's still mega good news now for Southampton. Let's remind ourselves, this isn't just news for that day and age. This is still current good news. It is still great news. Christmas is still great news. It is great news. People may or may not want to hear it, but it's still good news. That what you do on Christmas Eve here, the invitations you give out, we are not bothering people. You've got better things to do at Christmas. We have got the most joyful message and greatest news that a Savior has been born who loves them and cares for them. That is worth giving up an hour of your time on Christmas Eve to come and hear about the good news. It's still good news. But I think the happiest guys in the Christmas story are the Magi, or as we might call them, the wise men. Look with me at Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says this, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. So, okay, they go to Herod, don't they? Remember, they travel from afar. They've seen a star. They believe that it's signifying something significant. A king is to be born. Where do you go to find a king? You go to a palace. Well, not on this occasion. When they go, they meet with Herod. Herod says, well, you know, Bethlehem is the place to go. And they follow the star until it stops over the house, doesn't it? And then they say, after they heard this, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So overjoyed, that's an interesting word. They were joyful, but it was overjoyed. It was overflowing joy. In fact, the Greek, if you translated it literally, means this. They rejoiced, the word is kara, with kara, mega exceedingly. Do you get that? So we got like loads of layers. I don't think it's on there. They rejoice for the joy, which is the word kara, means like joy. Great, megos, exceedingly. In other words, like, there are not enough definitions here, adjectives to describe how joyful they were when these men, these three important men, came and they saw the child. It was in the house by now, so it was later on in months. But as they saw the child, they rejoiced with a mega joy. That's a lot of joy. I love that part of the story because it says they came and they bowed. That's interesting, isn't it? There was no guy on the door going, excuse me, when you go in, the right protocol is to bow. I don't think there was a bouncer on the door going, like there would be at Buckingham Palace. When you meet His Majesty, sorry, I almost said Her Majesty then. When you meet His Majesty, you know, you have to curtsy or to bow, and this is how you can do it. And all, you know, I think you get, I've never been, but I suspect you get some guidance if you've never been before and you've never greeted royalty. They'll tell you what to do. Well, there was nobody at the house telling the people with the kings or the magi what to do, and they're good, important people, big people. And yet, when they go into the house, they see a baby, they bow. That's interesting, isn't it? What is it about it? They knew, a bit like John the Baptist in the mother's womb, they knew that they were in the presence of majesty. And one of my friends recently was, I was saying to him, well, what are you talking about at Christmas? He said, I've been touched by that phrase about he's born King of the Jews. He said, I've just been thinking, nobody ever gets born a king. I thought, well, that's interesting. They don't, do they? You get born a prince or princess. But Jesus is born king. King of the Jews, that's just interesting. That's an aside. But that's interesting. So when they go into the house, these important people, these influential kings or magi, important wise people, they're not given for bowing for anything. But there's something about it when you're in the presence of Jesus, even infant Jesus, the only appropriate response is to bow. Is to be joyful and to bow. And I wonder this Christmas, as we come to what is really a familiar time for us, and some of us have been Christian, you know, a lot of years, and we can kind of take for granted, perhaps, the Christmas story and go, oh, okay, yeah, here it is again. These are the, you know, this is what we do. These are the songs that we sing. But I wonder whether this Christmas, God might touch us again with that fresh sense of joy. Wow, this is amazing that a Saviour has been born. There's a Saviour that He can forgive sin, that He can give us a brand new life and a brand new start. And it's good news for Southampton. But it's also reverent news as well. That when we come and we sing those hymns and we sing those carols and we read those readings, we are coming into the presence of this amazing God, Messiah, God with us. So very quickly, as I begin to bring things to a close, let me just look at that word joy and three things I want to say. The J for me stands for Jesus. The real joy is only found in Jesus. Now you can get your Christmas, and lots of people spend a lot of time, a lot of effort. They prepare for weeks and weeks in advance to make sure that the meal is cooked and the house is decorated and everything's perfect. But I want to tell you that without Jesus, you've missed the real meaning of Christmas. Reminds me of a trip a few years ago to Asda. When it comes to putting up our tree, we're a little bit late. I mean, some of you I know probably had it done in November, and you know, you can't wait to get. I'm probably of the ones that go a bit later. The problem with going later, and you may be earlier or later, you might be just right. I don't know whenever just right is. But anyway, so we go later rather than earlier. And anyway, the problem with going late is, of course, if your lights don't work on the Christmas tree, you try going to Asda kind of close to Christmas and getting Christmas fairy lights, you're going to struggle. Well, anyway, that was our problem. We got our tree up and put the lights on, and they were working perfectly the year before. Now they're not working. So my wife says to me, oh, Steve, would you go to Asda, see if they got anything? Well, I go to Asda, I look on the shelves, and it's decimated. But I managed to find, you know, one string of warm white lights. I go, oh, thank you, Jesus. But I purchased them, and as I'm leaving, I see this. It's box on the shelf. It says, Merry Christmas. I go, oh, I'm going to buy that. We could do with a banner. I'm thinking, banner, Merry Christmas. Oh, look amazing above the fire in our lounge. That would look great. So a spontaneous buy. I've got the lights in one hand, the box in the other. I get home. I'm coming like I've, you know, really done something amazing. Helen's going, oh, thank you, Steve, getting the lights. You've saved Christmas. Well done. And I say, Helen, when I was there, I got this banner. She sort of looks at me and thinks, well, okay, maybe. He says, Merry Christmas. I thought it looked great across the fireplace in our house. She goes, yeah. So I open up the box. And look what's inside. This is my response. Oh no, come on. Somebody's pinched the banner. Somebody naughty person has gone in and has pinched my banner. My wife looks at me with a sad look. Says, Steve, it's not a banner. It's a box. I go, what do you mean a box? Like, why would you buy an empty box? Surely there must be... No, she goes, you buy a box and you put a present inside it and then you give it to somebody. And I am... This is genuinely true. I'm like, oh. But the moral of the story is this, that actually Christmas without Jesus is a box that's really quite empty. It looks brilliant on the outside, but you're left with, like I was feeling, a bit cheating. Like, surely there must be a banner. Where's my banner? Who stole my banner? If you know anything about the crime, please report it to me. But anyway, no, it was an empty box. The J is for Jesus without him. Now, I don't know everybody here in the room today, but you might be here, you might have been a guest, you might be invited by somebody. If you don't know Jesus, then we would love to introduce you to him, because he's good news and he brings joy. See, the difference between joy and happiness is happiness won't last. You might get the perfect Christmas and you might not. But then after it, there comes a bit of a slump, doesn't there? When we take all the decorations down and we pack it away and we say goodbye to the family or whatever we do, and it leaves it. But joy resides deep inside. Why? Because joy is not about circumstantial things. It's about Jesus living inside you. It's about Jesus in your box. So if you don't know him today, we'd love to introduce you to Jesus and help you on that. The O, and I'm being really quick now, I realise time is almost gone, or probably has gone. But O is for, so J is for Jesus, O is for others. That it's not something we keep to ourselves. That actually, that the extravagance of God is that God is full of grace and mercy. He didn't stay in heaven, but he sent his only son. Why? So that human beings like you and me might come into relationship with him. And what I love about the Christmas story is in that story about the shepherds. Where it says in Luke chapter 2, when they had seen him, so they'd been to see Jesus, the shepherds, they spread the word concerning him. Or they could spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Let me read it again. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And let me remind you, the shepherds weren't the trained clergymen of the day, or the trained scholars or rabbis or teachers. They weren't particularly convincing. They were often shunned by society because they weren't able to keep up with the religious laws. They weren't able to go to the temple and put the sacrifice. Why? Because they were living outside looking after the sheep. They were kind of not able to go through all of those religious observances. And because of that, the kind of holy crowd distanced them and shunned them and put them on one side. And yet the angel appears to the shepherds and reveals to the poor and the uneducated the greatest news of all. And these people then go and share what they've seen, and people are amazed at what they hear. What does that encourage us today? It reminds us that this Christmas story is not just to keep to ourselves, but actually we need to be people that share it. Share the invitations to come to the service. Share the good news with Jesus where we are. Remind people in a winsome way, in a joyful way, that Christmas is about Jesus and about his coming, not about Rudolph and Father Christmas, although nothing wrong with those things. But let's not substitute them for Jesus. It's for others. Finally, the why is this. Why is, in this talk anyway, about you? Why is for, it's your move, it's your call. See, Christmas is about God taking the initiative. Matthew 1:21 says, she, Mary, will give birth to a son And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That the word Jesus means Saviour. The Message paraphrase of the Bible interprets John 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that great? The Word became flesh and blood. In other words, it took on human form and moved into the neighborhood. In other words, God sent his one and only Son from heaven and moved him into the neighborhood of humanity. And therefore, the next move is ours. And again, it may be this morning that you've never invited Jesus into your life. There's no better time of year. There's no better day to do it than today. The Bible says Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and he or she with me. In other words, Jesus today may well be knocking at the door of your life. He's not going to barge in and force himself in. He waits to be invited, but he comes to forgive, to cleanse, to give you new life and deep down joy that will never leave you. That is not circumstantial. You can have joy in the most testing circumstances in life that are imaginable. Why? Because you've got Jesus with you, the joy giver. Let me finish with this poem, and you may have heard this before, but I think it's worth repeating. It says this: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need as human beings was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Our greatest need was forgiveness. Hello. Or is forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Shall we pray? Maybe we just want to bow. I know that time is gone this morning, and I'm sure there are other things that you need to get on with today and everything else, but let's just take a moment. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never opened up your life to Jesus. Maybe you know about him, you've heard much of what I was speaking about this morning, but you never, ever, ever opened the door of your life and invited him in. Why don't you do that today? Or it could be that maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but maybe you're not in the place where you need to be or want to be, and you feel like you need to invite Jesus afresh into your life today. Why don't you pray? If either of those things apply to you, why don't you pray this prayer with me? You don't have to pray out loud, but pray it in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving your Son, Jesus. Thank you that he came and he moved into our neighborhood. Thank you that he not only came to be born, but he came to die and to give his life for me on that cross. Today, I turn my life to you. I ask you to forgive me for all of my wrongdoing. I believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took the punishment for my sins. And today I receive your free gift of forgiveness and new life and joy. I invite you, open the door and invite you into my life to cleanse me and make me new. Lord, help me today and tomorrow and from now on to live, to serve and obey you. Lord, become the boss of my life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I would love to speak to you and point you in the direction of other resources. I'm sure that Steve would like to do the same here, and maybe the people that invited you today. But God bless you. Have a wonderful, joyful, mega joyful Christmas, and share it around with others, would you? Amen. God bless you.